And now for the second message, Mr. Love.
Good afternoon. It is a tough act to follow here when I have all these tall guys in here. Start with Mr. Delameter. Good to be back in Phoenix. I have not been here in a while. Greetings come from our fair and small congregation here in Yuma. Greetings to you that they're thinking about you, because we do have some of you members who come down and be with us from time to time. Today, as Mr. Delameter was speaking about endurance, it's an ever-changing thing for us as we continue to try and do the things which are pleasing to God and not be a bad example to his son and his plan. For my entire adult life, it has been devoted to listening. Well, you can rightfully say that you too have devoted most of your life and most parts of it to listening. You see, I joined the United States Marine Corps at the age of 19 and spent about 5 years there as a communicator field. And in the actual war zone, they kind of explained it to me that, when war starts, promotions are great, because you have a lifespan of about 10 minutes. So maybe I'm in the wrong field. But no, I was in the right field. And for the past 32 years, I've spent as a civil servant to the United States Border Patrol as a communicator. And then the last few years being manager of the unit. A lot of listening was devoted to the everyday workings of my profession, because there we talk about life and death. Being on the border in Yuma, Arizona in the early 80s, and it was full blaze until 2006, and where I've known men, at least two, who've died on my watch. And they would say, and they would train you, that your listening is the greatest part of what you will do in this job. Because in a moment's notice, there could be a cry for help. And if you're not listening, you're missing the point. And so developing those skills of listening was vital. And for you, being in the fight now, in your years, how have you honed your skills for just listening? How many times have you had a conversation with someone you've known for years, and they are talking, and then you start to talk before they finish? It happens a lot. It goes back to the Garden of Eden. Were there a problem with listening? What was the motive of Adam and Eve to follow the simple instructions that God had given them before that whisper that came into the garden? And probably you would think to yourself. And God, Jesus Christ, said, I'm going to see if they are listening. Was that the case? Well, we are a product of it today. But what did not happen then? At some point in our lives, we want to be heard. Right? Isn't it in the things that we have to say important? You know, that people should know these things about us and about what I want to say. But we must always keep in mind that in the conclusion of the numerous words that we speak, we lose sight of or forget the fact that the majority of the words we speak fall on deaf ears. In days of old, God's words fell on deaf ears when God pleaded with Israel to listen. When he pleaded with Adam and Eve to listen. Now let's bring it forward. When he pleaded with you to listen. How do we, as Christians, bridge the gap? How do we keep listening when your life condition gets noisy? Can you listen over the noise? The noise of the day. And still find and hold dear the words that leads to life. And Mr. Delamita was saying about endurance and struggle. It is a struggle. Every single day. And sometimes we don't look at the picture as seriously as it should be. Because we can fall into the rut of this day, that day. And not see from God's eyes how menacing our enemy is and how deceitful he is and how he uses our inaction against us. Question for you. Can you hear the shepherd's voice? That voice that comes down from heaven? Because man has scientifically determined that the most focused attention that we can give at human beings is 15 minutes at a time. 15 minutes of hard listening before we drift off to some other place. Well, today let's look at some steps that may enhance our ability to listen more so to God's word and more intently. I will make 3 points that may help us. You see, man has studied the art of listening and come up with 3 exercises of conditions that you can condition your mind to stay focused. Let's see if they'll work for us. Point 1. Focus on the speaker. And it says, not on your reaction. Now, I find that kind of hard to do at times. Because I've listened to men speak for many, many years. And sometimes in my mind, I said, oh, wait a minute. Hold it right there. What did he just say? Let the words flow. Focus on the speaker. Focus on what he's saying and not on your reaction. If there are points that Mr. Delamita made today, focus on the points and see where they will lead. And finally, let the speaker's conversation come to completion before we start to add things to the stew. Many of us here are cooks, and we tend to like to add things to the pot. Now, my wife knows that I like to make chili. And I make it in a certain way. And she likes to walk behind me. Maybe I'll add a little of this. No. Leave it alone. Don't add anything. Let it come to completion. Many have studied the art of clear listening. Hearing all there is to hear at any given time. And with our attention span, that becomes a problem. Out of those three points, how can we make these points work for us? Do we have an opinion about the speaker before he's finished? Can we become better listeners if we follow these steps? For us, brethren, the time to draw near in every word spoken by men who God works through have meaning, and how these men care for these words that take precedence in our lives. Now, I've watched men who prepared messages, and it just astounds me of the level of detail, because it comes out in the way and in the manner that they speak and how they care for these words, because they're for you. And how we meticulously sweat, which you don't see. And how we labor over these words from day to day. And you get back on your knees. And you ask God, are these the words you want me to speak? Then seeing that in the men who come before you. For many of us, we've spent many years of listening. And I'll add this caveat, not listening. And if you count all the times that you were drowsy, distracted, or the children being fussy, that number would be quite large. And here we find our arch enemy, who loves nothing better than to whisper in your ear, just go to sleep. You're tired. You've had a long week. And the kids are being fussy. Oh, just leave those kids alone. They're kids. And you hear nothing. These are the things that we battle. But we at all times must let God's words ring true in our ears at all times. God makes it plain in the book of Psalms, what we will read right now. Turn to Psalms 34 and verse 11. Psalms 34 and verse 11. It says, come, you children. Listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That fear is not just everyday fear that engulfs this world, but it's a reverence that God would have us to have about Him, about how we view Him and His Son. Our journey, brethren, will not be complete until every word that God the Father and Jesus Christ speaks to us are heard and understood. Through our past experience in God's Word, we have gained valued experience. And when we understand these words, we take action. You are a product of that now. If you're baptized, you are a product of understanding these words. And so for your notes today, listening to the voice from heaven is the title of this sermon. So let us begin this conversation here with point one. We'll turn back to the book of Hebrews. Turn back to Hebrews 12 and verse 25. And here it speaks about that mind block that Israel had, about the prophets who went before and who endured nothing but opposition. So let us read here in Hebrews 12 and verse 25. It says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they do not escape who refuse him who spoke on earth, much more shall not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven." If we refuse. If we refuse these words that God has for us, there is no escape for us. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to me. The world wants to know, but it's not time for the world to know. It is about active listening, which is hard to do because you're a man or a woman and you're on this earth and you can only give 15 minutes at a time of full listening, and then you rewind. Some don't. They stop. I've had my 15 minutes, so I'm going to rest now. The words that God has for us are serious. And as I mentioned, our enemy jumps for joy when he believes, that he has driven a wedge between you and God's people. That's what he angles for every single day. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. It's no surprise. Driving that wedge between God's family and God. Satan will not give up. He'll continue to generate the noise that you don't hear and that you can't hear clearly. Are we to just embrace without checking the word that come from my mouth or any man's mouth who stands before you? No. Jesus Christ warns us to test these words that are from above. 1 John 4 and verse 1. 1 John 4 and verse 1. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they have God. Because many false prophets have gone into the world." And God goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 13, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 13, that each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work and what sort it is. By you listening, you're developing your work. You're building that foundation. Will it stand the test? Will it be burned up? These are things that in days of old, when I used to watch Mr. Armstrong, whether he was in person or on video, he would always direct those who were listening, go to your Bible and look at it for yourself. In the process of listening to the voice from heaven, we must continually go forth in our research of the scriptures to verify what is being said, our actions or our inactions, and words will be called into account for each of us. Have you focused on the speaker and what he's saying? Can that be verified? And God puts it most graciously in Psalm 14 and verse 2. Psalm 14 verse 2, and it says, "The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there's any who understand, who seek God." You see, there's a lot of talk, a lot of pretense that goes forth in this world. When men and women speak and say, "Yes, I love God. I will do what he say," and yet they do not. And yet, in their prayer closet, they will say, "God, I could not hear you. The noise was too great." Are we listening? Are we putting forth that effort? That listening will be the number one thing we do, because this is how God communicates to us. He doesn't do it by osmosis. It is about active listening. It is about an effort that we have to put forth. And he will not do it for us. So when we're thinking and feeling low, we ask God for the strength to move forward. Are we listening? And this next point, grab hold of all that comprises the message. If points are made, grab them and analyze them. How many of you, when you sit and you write your notes and you never look at them again, Never. Some could have reams of tablets that you've done over the years and never go back to look at them. This is one of the things that I learned as I was preparing for baptism. And the pastor I had then, he said, when you write these notes down, if that sermon is recorded, go back 24 hours later to reinforce what you just heard. Because it becomes like a window that's open. And if you don't close the window, it flies out. Because if there's things there that we need, you need to grab hold of those things. Look around you. How peaceful it is in here. God says there's going to be a time when there will be no peace. There will be a time where there will be no assembly like we have here now. Well, men will know your name. They will know who you are, and they will come looking for you. The Apostle Paul, in the many, many years that he walked this earth and were beaten, thrown out of cities, left him for dead, and all of a sudden he's like a jack-in-the-box, he just flip up. And he walks to the next city. Redeeming in time is what I'm referring to here. Being mindful of those points being spoken, turn to Hebrews 2 and verse 2. Hebrews 2 and verse 2. It says, for if the word spoken through angels prove steadfast in every transgression and disobedience receive a just reward. That's the law. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? Who was speaking to Adam and Eve? In the garden. And was confirmed to us by those who heard him, the prophets who walked this earth. It's all about the listening. It's all about, are we committed to listening? Developing the exercises that will give us a clear path to God's throne. You know, there is no more personal time for us, especially if we who live in these large cities, is in your car. It's when you traverse and go from place to place. This is where Satan is most effective. We become vulnerable because he began to push buttons while we're in that car to distract us. I have a navigation system in my car. I have one, she speaks to me, and I gave her a name. She has driven, taken me from one end of this country to the other, and her name is Vera. Now, I listen to Vera, especially when I'm in Oklahoma City. Vera has taken me on some side trips I know her ways. And so at times when I'm listening to her, I shut it off because she says, turn here. No. This is not the place to turn. And so I engage in listening and not listening when I deal with Vera. Now, God does not want us to do this with Him. Period. He wants us to follow Him. Him only. Because we as human beings, we have a soft spot. That we just give in when we shouldn't. But we should take these words in mind. That God comes first. He has provided for us. We are still breathing. We still have shelter. We still have food. He has made a way for us for these things to take place in our lives. In Luke 11 and verse 28. Luke 11, verse 28, he says, but he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Now, this is a lifelong endeavor for us to see these words before us, to hear these words spoken, to follow these words unconditionally. Have you done this? Have you unconditionally turned your life over to God? You see, I go to my prayer closet and I have these conversations with God because you know what? I'm still human. Still walking this earth, trying to do the thing which is pleasing to God. And I try to build a case for things I want. And in the end, God says no. No. And so we adjust our minds. And that voice in the back says, what are the words? Love God. Love God. Those are the words. And if we change those words, our contract through our elder brother and his blood is null and void for us. Always mindful that his blood covers us, not yours, not blood of goats or lambs, Christ's blood. Jesus Christ also gives us a healthy example of being mindful of points made, in particular points made to some who did not bother to remember what he said. John 8, verse 43. We'll read that before I go into the full length. John 8. Verse 43, and says, why do you not understand my speech? Christ is asking the question. Because, as he answers it for him, you are not able to listen to my words. To put that in context, go back to verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. You notice what he said? If God were your Father, you would love me. Then Christ said, I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Read that, verse 42. He sent me. This was the conversation Christ was having with these people. And in verse 44 it said, you are of your father the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Does not stand in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he's a liar. And a father of it. Christ explaining to these men, they had a one-track mind. And Christ said, if you, if God were your father, you would love me. And they just flat out told him, I don't love you. I don't like you at all. And so the noise for them was Satan broadcasting in their ears. And they pretty much liked what they were hearing. Because they had no place for Christ's words. And point three says, let the speaker's conversation come to completion. Let the speaker's conversation come to completion. Matthew 13 and verse 43. Matthew 13, verse 43. It said, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, these words are pointing to your ears. You have the ears to hear. And so, God the Father, in his ability to control his creation, will not allow anything to stop you from hearing. We are the authors of that. We allow our hearing to be stopped. Not God the Father. Because he gives us the tools to make this work in this noisy, evil world. Proverbs 7, verse 24. Proverbs 7, verse 24 says, now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Put your name in that scripture. Put your name there. Are we winning the daily battles of opposing the not listening? The fight goes on every day, every hour, every minute. And I can't say enough, brethren, listening is key for us. Let us read to bring a little bit more clarity about who we are and where we stand. Let's read the parable of the dragnet. a vision of things to come, and has great bearing on our listening now. Matthew 13 and verse 47. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore. And they sat down and gathered the good in the vessels, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angel will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In verse 52, and then he said to them, therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out his treasures, things new and old. God makes it plain for us about who we are, how we conduct ourselves every single day. Where is our focus? Are there weak points? Do we waver at certain parts of the day? Do we know who we are? Because it comes down to identity. Satan knows who you are. You are like those little lights in this dark world, and it's not hard for him to see. He knows your name because he speaks your name every single day. Talking about your faults, things that you're not doing, not focusing. And he would say, the law says you would have to kill them. But God says, no, my son's blood covers that. And so he would like nothing better than to have you eliminated from God's family. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not here yet. Today is the day of change. This is where we make our impact, right now, in this moment. In remembering these points, as we focus on the speaker and not our own reaction, be mindful of points if they're made, and let the speaker's conversation come to completion. God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, must be our focus at all times. As we live the words of our elder brother, we live and become these words. Have you thought about that? The words in this book, have you thought about living and becoming those words? Jesus Christ is our mediator of this new covenant between God and man. He brings us together. He keeps us together to plead with God for us, and to plead with us for God, and at length bring God and His people together. We must see that we not refuse this gracious call that God has extended to us called salvation. See that you do not refuse Him who speaks from heaven. When we listen, it must be with total regard to gleaning every word that brings us spiritual food. the laws of God are the points of being made in our lives, and we must be mindful of them. The conversation with our Father comes to completion in our spiritual lives through Jesus Christ. Hearing the facts and letting God explain what we are to know. Your ability to listen is important. It's important for your growth. So just keep listening because God has a wonderful gift for us who stay the course and make listening a priority in our spiritual lives.